Old Path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinette.
Reflections, Christian meditations compiled by James Robinette, missionary to Africa. This piece is dedicated to my beloved wife, helpmeet, and fellow missionary, Cappy. She is a blessing of blessings to me, a rare and true gift from the Lord Jesus. Her persevering, kind, and loving spirit has helped me in uncountable ways as I have sought to glorify God and fulfill my ministry. I consider it a real privilege and joy to serve the Lord with her at my side. After my blessed Lord, she is the love of my life. Years ago, I began to read and enjoy the meditations and writings of Christian of long ago times. I was helped greatly by the thoughts of Christians from the early church times, by the reformers of the 1500s, the Puritans of England of the 1600s, and later godly men. Men like Augustine, John Calvin, Martin Luther, John Owen, Richard Baxter, George Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, and modern preachers and thinkers like Martin Lloyd-Jones, John MacArthur, and John Piper, and many missionaries have been used by God to greatly shape my life and understanding of what it means to follow Christ. Because the thoughts of these men have aided me in my walk with the Lord significantly, I offer to you, dear reader, this compilation of some of their works. These writings are meant to be helpful teachings and meditations, and are presented as an aid to your personal meditation or reflection upon the glories of Christ and His truth. It is my hope that you will slowly and prayerfully read the following pieces and consider the truths contained therein. You may desire to pray with the teachings and meditations as a guideline. Feel free to pray from the writings. You may use the writings as a daily devotional. There are 150 teachings and meditations here to be used as God's Spirit leads you. Please use these materials in your sermons and talks, quoting the authors as appropriate. One important blessing to be gained from these works is in understanding the thoughts of men of various historical times and places. The Christian Church has a wonderful history, and to survey the thoughts of her great teachers can be truly enlightening. Our African friends have found these teachings to be both useful and instructive. As a missionary to Africa, I have developed a deep love for the African people, especially the children. Major themes found in the following meditations include evangelism, prayer, preaching, revival, the atonement, the nature of Christ, the cross, grace, missions, devotion, praise, sanctification, spiritual battle, providence, doctrine, and God's love. May the Lord bless you, friend, as you meet with Him in your consideration of His spiritual depth and truth. James Robinette, Kampala, Uganda, June 2006. 1. The first day. Through the tender mercies of our God, the day spring from on high hath visited us. Glory be to Thee, O Lord, glory to Thee, Creator of the light and enlightener of the world, of the visible light, the sun's ray, a flame of fire, day and night, evening and morning, of the light invisible, the revelation of God, writings of the law, oracles of the prophets, music of psalms, instruction of proverbs, experience of histories, light which never sets. God is the Lord who hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, yea, even unto the horns of the altar. O, by thy resurrection, raise us up unto newness of life, supplying to us frames of repentance. The God of peace, who did bring again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect us in every good work to do His will, working in us what is acceptable before Him through Jesus Christ, To whom be glory forever. Thou who didst send down on thy disciples on this day the thrice Holy Spirit, withdraw not thou the gift, O Lord, from us, but renew it in us day by day, who ask thee for it from the private devotions of Lancelot Andrews, the World Publishing Company, New York, 1956. 2. The implication in preaching is plain. When God sends his emissaries to declare your God reigns, his aim is not to constrain man's submission by an act of raw authority. His aim is to ravish our affections with irresistible displays of his glory. The only submission that fully reflects the worth and glory of the king is glad submission. Begrudging submission berates the king. No gladness in the subject, no glory to the king. This is what Jesus said in effect in Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom, that is the rule of the dominion of heaven, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, that is his glad submission to that kingship and his delight in its glory, its value, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. When the kingdom is a treasure, submission is a pleasure. Or to turn it around, when submission is a pleasure, the kingdom is glorified as a treasure. Therefore, if the goal of preaching is to glorify God, it must aim at glad submission to his kingdom, not raw submission. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, but what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. But then in verse 6, he goes beneath that proclamation of the lordship of Christ, beneath the rule and authority of King Jesus, and tells us the essence of his preaching. It is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The only submission to the lordship of Christ that fully magnifies his worth and reflects his beauty is the humble gladness of the human soul in the glory of God in the face of the Son. The wonder of the gospel and the most freeing discovery that the sinner has ever made is that God's deepest commitment to be glorified and my deepest longing to be satisfied are not in conflict, but in fact find simultaneous consummation in his display of and my delight in the glory of God. Therefore, the goal of preaching is the glory of God reflected in the glad submission of the human heart. And the supremacy of God in preaching is secured by this fact. The one who satisfies gets the glory. The one who gives the pleasure is the treasure. From The Supremacy of God in Preaching by John Piper, Baker Books, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 1990. 3. His first open-air sermon was to miners at Kingwood in Bristol. He said afterwards, "Blessed be God that I have now broken the ice. I believe I never was more acceptable to my master than when I was standing to teach those hearers in the open fields. Some may censure me, but if I thus pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Crowds of over 20,000 began attending these services, and many were saved. Whitfield's ministry lasted for 35 years, ranging all over England, Wales, and Scotland, and including 7 visits to America. He was blessed with great natural gifts of oratory, but this was not the reason for his success as a preacher. He was preeminently a spiritual, godly man. The phrases that abound in his journals and letters give clear evidence of this. For example, "Night and day Jesus fills me with his love. I walk continually in the comforts of the Holy Ghost. The sight I have of God by faith ravishes my soul. How I shall be ravished when I see him face to face." C.H. Spurgeon said of him, "Years on years, Whitfield continued his arduous labors, never resting. In the intervals of preaching, he was writing or walking and composing sermons. He wrote letters, conversed with inquirers, visited jails and sick beds, attended to the orphan's house, published various works, preached during his voyages, and at all times, even till the hour of his death, was earnest and fervent. In his sermons, one perceives coals of juniper and hot thunderbolts. He lived. Other men seemed to be only half alive, but Whitfield was all life, fire, wing, force. From Peter Jeffries' Christian Handbook, published by Brinterian Press, Bridgend, Wales, 1988. 4. You must know that there is a great difference between peace, comfort, and joy. A man may have peace that has no comfort. A man may have comfort that has no joy. One is beyond the other, one a degree above the other. As now, it may be daylight, and yet the sun may not shine forth. The sun may shine forth, and yet not noonday. Possibly a man may have peace, and yet not much comfort, only stayed upon God. Possibly a man may have comfort, and yet not much joy. But now, many a poor soul thinks, because he has no joy, therefore he has no comfort. And because he has not much comfort, therefore no peace. Labor to know the differences between these three. From A Lifting Up for the Downcast by William Bridge, who died in 1670, first published in 1649, published by the Banner of Truth Trust, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, 1995.